Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. More breaking news about Russia. Biden just went live and addressed the press. Obviously, he didn't take any questions. He very rarely does. But I guess we could say he addressed the nation. He more so read the script from the teleprompter. That was quite obvious. And a lot of what he said really didn't make sense. But I want to look at how markets responded. We're getting close to the close. Again, what we want to look for is the yield curve, what is happening to the twos and the tens among gold, oil, all the other things that we've got to pay attention to. But we want to get hyper-focused on the yield curve. But first, before we get there, let's shoot over to the last minute or so. Is concluding statements for this Russia ordeal. Let's listen to that, and then we'll dive into how this affected the markets specifically. So I'm going to hit play, and I'll put the mic right down here by the speaker.
Deepen our collective defense against threats in cyberspace. For the sake of historic responsibility, Russia and the United States...
And I actually hit mute there, guys. One thing I wanted to point out that he was talking about cyberspace. He was talking about a lot of what he said. It seems to me like it was a setup to blame inflation and other things that people are blaming him for on Russia. That's kind of the I got from what he was saying.
Care for global stability, for the sake of our common future. Choose diplomacy. But let there be no doubt. If Russia commits this breach by invading Ukraine, responsible nations around the world will not hesitate to respond. We do not stand for freedom. Where it is at risk today will surely pay a steeper price tomorrow.
So that's where he completely lost me. Did any of you even, is it just me, or did that not make sense at all? Let's go back here.
Doubt. If Russia commits this breach by invading Ukraine, responsible nations around the world will not hesitate to respond. Do not stand for freedom. Where it is at risk today will truly pay a steeper price tomorrow.
Do not stand for freedom. Where it is at risk today, those will surely pay the price tomorrow? Or what? I don't get that. But if you go back and watch this, a couple minutes toward the end, he talks about how he's not going to let Russia basically increase the cost of fuel and energy here in the United States. He's going to try to take action to make sure that prices didn't increase. And again, I think what he's doing is he's kind of giving a wink, wink, nod, nod to media to start claiming that all of this inflation is a result of high oil prices, which is a result of Russia, just setting up a boogeyman. And therefore, he's trying to make the average Joe and Jane believe that, or blame Putin for the cost of their groceries going up and the price of gas going to $4 a gallon or whatever it is. I think that was kind of the PR move here. But let's see how this is affecting markets, guys. So we go over to the CNBC homepage, and the market was down on the news as far as the Dow, but then it kind of spiked right back up to higher than I think it was prior to Biden even starting to talk. Yeah, you can see this. And then we go back and let's look at oil. So you'd expect oil to be down, which it is. That's significantly down, almost 4%. Gold, you'd probably expect that to be down. It is. Crypto, you'd probably expect that to be up because it's trading with the NASDAQ. I wish it wasn't, but unfortunately it is right now. Let's see what it's doing. And there you go. Almost in lockstep with the NASDAQ. And if you're someone that's bullish, if you're a Bitcoin maxi, this is not good news. I don't care how you want to spin it. The fact that Bitcoin is trading directly with the NASDAQ is is not why you should own Bitcoin. Right? And I'm assuming that the Maxis would agree with me there, that they want to own Bitcoin because ideally it would be a non-correlated asset. And I don't know of anything right now that's more correlated to the NASDAQ and risk assets than crypto and Bitcoin. So again, why is that important? Because I think everyone should own a little bit of Bitcoin, but where I'm waiting to add to my position is when Bitcoin decouples from the NASDAQ and I start to see more panic than hysteria. All right, so let's go back to the bonds, because as I've said, this is what is most important to me moving into 2022, potentially beyond. So the 10-year treasury is actually up on the day. And let's go to the one day. So what happened when Biden was talking here? All right, pretty much the same, up a little bit. But what's happening to the 2-year? The 2-year is down on the day and went up a little bit when Biden was speaking, but down for the most part, which means the yield curve today, at least, has steepened. And I think this is most likely because the market is sensing that there's a lower probability that Russia invades Ukraine, and therefore a higher probability that the Fed does keep their hawkish stance. Now, are they right or wrong? We'll have to see how it plays out as the Fed tightens interest rates and what happens to the line, or the what happens to the yield curve itself. Does it flatten? Does it invert? I think if the Fed raises 7 times this year, which is what the market projects, that we will most likely see an inversion. We get a recession, and that recession is bad news for the U.S. economy because it's bad news for stocks, it's bad news for risk assets, bad news for housing potentially. And also, I did a whiteboard video this morning on the effects of nominal GDP on debt to income, or excuse me, debt to GDP, that basically the effect of that nominal GDP has on the debt to GDP ratio. And when debt to GDP gets over 100%, how that puts a country in the no bueno zone. And how do they get out of that? It's usually inflate their way out, but with the United States, how? How do they do that? And you say, oh, George, well, they just print money. How? As you guys know, the Fed doesn't print money. The government would have to spend money. And how is the government going to spend more money when you've got inflation, or at least deficit spend, in order to create the inflation, when that just makes the debt worse?
Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today.
See, most people, I don't think, are thinking this through, which is why I would strongly suggest watching the whiteboard video that I did today. It'll probably be out tomorrow. But as an example, in 2021, nominal GDP was up by 11.7%. Okay, well, the deficit as a percentage of GDP was higher than that. It was, call it 12, 15%. So how does that play out? Like we had significant deficit spending and we had significant inflation and the debt to GDP went up, not down. So the only way we think, and I've fallen victim to this myself, we think that as long as the government, the central planners create inflation, that they're good to go. They're bailing themselves out. And we'll see the debt to GDP take a path like we saw in the 1940s when it peaks out during the war. And then it gradually goes down, 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 down until it bottoms out in the mid-1970s. But the only way to do that is if nominal GDP increases at a higher rate than the deficit as a percentage of GDP, right? If you have the deficit as a percentage of GDP go up by 20% and GDP only goes up by 10%, great. You created the inflation needed to get nominal GDP up to 10%. Who cares? The deficit's up by 20. Therefore, debt to GDP. And I don't want to give you kind of a spoiler alert, but the conclusion of the video is the U.S. can't inflate their way out. That's what they're going to try to do because they have to default. Like my good friend Lynn Alden pointed out in her blog post at lynnalden.com, her most recent post that you can read for free, which I strongly recommend. She points out that there was a study going all the way back to the 1800s where they studied countries that got above 100% debt to GDP. And out of 51 countries, 50 of them defaulted. The question is not if they default, it's how they default. Do they do it by giving a haircut to their creditors? Or do they do it by inflating away the currency to pay back the debt in devalued dollars or whatever the local currency is? Usually it's predicated upon if the debt is denominated in a currency that the government can create. But let's not forget that the problem with that is the government deficit has to be less than the increase of nominal GDP. And if the only way that you can increase nominal GDP or create the inflation needed to increase nominal GDP is by deficit spending to a greater percentage, then you get into this weird environment where we have significant rates of inflation where it's crushing the average Joe and Jane. It's crushing the economy. We have negative real rates, but yet the debt to GDP is getting worse, not better, because the government, although they may be able to create the inflation like they created in 2021 and in 2020, that's not enough because they have to deficit spend even more than they are gaining from the additional inflation. And if you're not following that, don't worry at all. Just watch the whiteboard video. It'll all make a ton of sense. So what's the end game, George? That's probably your question right now. What is the government going to do? There's only one thing they can do, guys. That's a central bank digital currency. That's it. That will be the only thing left in their playbook. Because think about it, they can't even do price controls, really. I mean, we've talked about that, but if you do price controls, then you're decreasing nominal GDP. So the only way out, if they're objective is to get the debt to GDP back down under 100%, is this that they are going to be able to create the inflation they need. Why? Because when the central bank is able to inject dollars directly into the economy and circumnavigate the government and the commercial banking system, they can create more and more and more currency units circulating, chasing goods and services, increasing nominal GDP, and it doesn't affect the balance sheet of the government. Because the government doesn't have to issue debt. They don't have to issue treasuries to increase the broad money supply. You can only do that with a central bank digital currency. So I think after watching my video, you'll come to the same conclusion that I came to. And that's that the probabilities, for me at least, of the government turning in that direction in the next, call it 3, 4, 5 years, is even greater, in my opinion, than it was a couple weeks ago when I hadn't thought it through to the extent that I thought it through today. in doing the whiteboard video with the help of my good friend, Lynn Alden. I need to give her just as much credit. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Make sure that you're always standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. See you on the next video.